Hey listeners, before we get to this episode of Problem Solvers, here is a word from our sponsor.
Coming up with a name for your business can be difficult. Finding a matching domain can be even harder. Don't settle for a website name that's kinda close. Show strength and brand continuity with a domain name that is the exact match to your business name. .inc, and that's inc as in I-N-C, .inc offers premium, instantly credible domains built for businesses of all sizes. Startups everywhere are switching to the domain ending that means business. From reset.inc to self.inc, a .inc domain will help put your brand alongside Fortune 500 companies like Facebook, PayPal, and Amazon. .inc is the domain that means business for your business. Establish your online presence by registering your .inc domain today. Visit entrepreneur.inc to learn more. Again, that is entrepreneur.inc.
And now, on with the show. From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Entrepreneurs want to know how to build things that last long into the future, but how do you predict the future? How do you know what people will want and how to develop it now for later? It feels like a question that the company Fireflies.ai has cracked, because the product it makes, it's like it was created by predicting the future, a future where everyone's overwhelmed and working from home and just needs some help. Fireflies.ai, it's an artificial intelligence product that you can patch into any phone call or video conference you're on, and it will automatically take and then organize notes for you, which of course is highly appealing to remote workers. And so you must be wondering, as I was, how did they produce this thing so perfectly for right now? How did they predict the future? How did they build something yesterday for exactly today? And the answer is crazy, because honestly, they didn't.
Quite candidly, our first 2 years of existence, or just starting to build the product out, what we realized was we actually never used the word remote work when we positioned our product. It was not used in the same sentence.
That's Krish Ramanini, one of the co-founders of Fireflies.ai. His co-founder is named Sam Udadong, but you won't be hearing from Sam in this episode for good reason.
Sam is not. He had a really important work thing that came up this morning.
These guys are working 20-hour days now. Sam told me by email that he is subsisting basically on Domino's and Soylent, the meal replacement drink, which was also his diet back in 2016 when Fireflies.ai was bootstrapped and just starting out.
Early mornings are really chaotic with all the, as you can imagine, with everything that's happening right now.
If you're a reader of Entrepreneur Magazine, these guys will be familiar to you. They're on the cover of our September issue, which we always devote to young entrepreneurs. Sam and Krish are both 26. And when I talked to Krish for the story, I wanted to know how he and Sam had gotten to this place. How did they put themselves so perfectly into this moment we're in right now? Built something so suited for the future we have entered. Even though, as you heard, they didn't really even know it. And they'd never used that term, working remotely, when they were pitching a product that turned out to be perfect for working remotely. The answer is revealing for any entrepreneur, because it has less to do with predicting the specifics of the future and more about knowing which bet to take. Krish and Sam think deeply about where technology is going and how to find the sweet spot of something that's primed for opportunity, even if, frankly, you don't know exactly what that opportunity is. Now, I told a version of this story in the September issue of the magazine, but I'm also going to tell it here because I think that there's so much to learn from these forward-thinking co-founders. Two guys who, as you'll hear in a moment, met in an unusual way, but one that's fitting for the unusual moment they've now found themselves in. So, how to take advantage of the future. That's the subject on this episode of Problem Solvers, and it's coming up after the break. If I have learned anything from talking to people for a podcast called Problem Solvers, it is that the human spirit has the power to overcome adversity. And that is what the Hartford believes too. With the right team, resources, and technology in place, they know that people are capable of amazing things. And in a world where employee needs are quickly evolving, it's more important than ever to have a partner who stands behind you as you look to make decisions that ensure you are providing the right support for your workforce. The Hartford is an insurance company, but it is more than that too. It is dedicated to helping you succeed. Their experienced teams will take the time to get to fully understand your company and help to design a benefits package that provides the best experiences possible for your employees. To learn more about how The Hartford can have your back as you solve today's problems and tomorrow's, then visit thehartford.com/futureofbenefits. Again, that is thehartford.com/futureofbenefits. The Hartford is the Hartford Financial Services Group, Inc., and its subsidiaries, including underwriting companies Hartford Life and Accident Insurance Company and Hartford Fire Insurance Company. Home office is in Hartford, Connecticut. All right, we're back. So to appreciate how these guys arrived at the idea for Fireflies.ai, you first need to see how they arrived at their partnership. Because from the very beginning, as you'll see, this was not a typical partnership.
Sam was at MIT. I was at University of Pennsylvania.
Which are not exactly next door to each other. Sam was studying aerospace engineering and computer science, and Chris was studying engineering systems, and they just clicked and started video chatting daily, and then spent more than a year collaborating extensively on projects without ever meeting each other.
So we worked on all sorts of things, like from cryptocurrency to drones.
They did eventually meet, and then Chris graduated early and took a job at Microsoft in the summer of 2015 and planned on doing a master's program at the University of Cambridge in the UK after that. But the summer before school began, Chris went to Boston to hang out with Sam. And while they were together, of course, they just kept creating things. They developed the earliest version of what would become Fireflies.ai and felt like, you know, maybe there's something really special here, something worth taking a bet on, something worth changing all their plans for.
At the end of the summer, when we decided, hey, it's not all the time that you get a chance to work on something meaningful, so why don't we just start pursuing this? And we started working on it, and we flew out to San Francisco because, you know, we felt I was originally from the Bay Area, and I realized like what it meant to be in Silicon Valley and some of the advantages that do come with it. And so we decided to move out to San Francisco, and Sam bought a one-way ticket, had a few hundred dollars in his pocket, just graduated from college. Like, he had other opportunities as well. And yeah, for both of us, it was really coincidence, spontaneous. I know it sounds like a movie, but this is how it actually happened, where we just took a decision, a spontaneous decision. And it was only after that I told my parents about like my plans of not going to Cambridge and kind of doing this. And so we moved out to SF and set up shop.
So now they're out there in San Francisco and they are committed. And what are they working on exactly? The cool thing about entrepreneurship, and this is true everywhere, of course, though perhaps even more extreme in tech, is how many pivots and refinements happen in the development of an idea. Because, you know, for Chris and Sam, they didn't wake up one day with the idea of a remote note-taking system. They instead started with a really big idea. And that big idea was an AI assistant for work. A powerful technological assistant that could help people at work. So, cool. Big idea. Abstract idea. Where do you even begin with that idea? So they backed into it in the most logical way that they could.
Our starting point was, okay, where is a place where we could start adding incredible value? We need an entry point, and that entry point happened to be meetings. Because meetings, you have immediate utility because you can transcribe meetings, you can take notes, you can send reminders, and we're spending a ton of time in meetings, especially if you're a manager. When I was a PM, product manager, I was probably spending more than half my time in meetings and then following up and sending emails. So we said, let's start with that as our entry path. And so we're really in that phase what we are. And Fireflies was honestly used so when we talked about it, we said, we're starting with meetings. And it didn't have to be just Zoom meetings, and it didn't have to be just Google Meet or Skype meetings, but the idea was, even if you're in a conference room, they usually have some sort of conferencing line set up, right? And so Fireflies could join through the conferencing setup. And so it would work fine whether you're in a remote meeting setting or you're in an in-person meeting setting in a conference room.
So this goes back to something you heard Chris say at the beginning of the episode, which is that they didn't originally think of this as a remote tool. They just saw it as a work tool. People are in the office together, but they can bring Fireflies in using a conference phone. Simple as that. And by the way, Chris and Sam weren't even remote workers themselves at this point, although they started their partnership virtually, as we know. when they got out to San Francisco, they got some co-working space together. So they were in-office colleagues producing a product for in-office colleagues. But although that part of their journey wasn't exactly future-focused at the moment, the technology they were engaging with was. And I find this part super interesting because think of it. This is 2016. Voice recognition technology was not very good back then. And that's the technology that they were now going to make a bet on. Sam and Krish wanted to build a product that would live or die on its ability to properly understand what people say. So I wanted to understand from Krish, how did they know that this was tech worth betting on? Because it was, as we now are very aware, voice recognition technology is very impressive compared to where it was in 2016. We have devices that largely understand us, not always, Alexa, but most of the time you understand me. We have systems that transcribe what we say with near perfection, which not for nothing is how I am able to make this podcast right here, right now, the one you're listening to. Every time you hear Krish's voice in this episode, it's because I was going through an AI transcription of our interview in a platform called Descript and then highlighting and exporting what he said in audio files. And this is a thing with technology, of course. It starts out raw and very expensive, and it isn't always ready for prime time. And then sometimes it does get there, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's a technology that suddenly everyone is using, like a smartphone, and sometimes it's, well, I guess self-driving cars, which maybe will get mass adoption at some point, but certainly not at the pace that so many people have predicted. And so far, nobody who's invested millions of dollars into that technology have seen a big return. So what was the formula that Krish and Sam used to look at voice recognition technology at a time in which it was not at all mature and say, yeah, all right, this isn't ready for prime time, but it's close enough to maturity that now's a good time to take a bet on it? What does that look like? What is that decision-making process? What can we learn about how to identify things that are going to be big later? That is what we're going to get into next, but first, another short break. As companies begin to find their footing and grow, everyone knows the road ahead won't be easy. You need every advantage to succeed, and that's why smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system, which gives you an edge on the most important parts of your business. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your finances, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You'll have the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. When you use NetSuite, you are joining over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. And that goes beyond just the tools NetSuite offers, because the company surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business, and they want to give it to you for free. Here is how. To receive your free guide called 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now and schedule your free product tour, just go to netsuite.com/problem solvers. Again, to get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now, go to netsuite.com/problem solvers. netsuite.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So I had asked Krish how he and Sam decided that voice recognition technology was worth taking a bet on back when it was decidedly not ready for prime time. And he said,
I think with voice, it really had to be at that point in time, if it was something everyone believed in and knew, then you'd see hundreds of companies. But it wasn't, like, it wasn't something everyone believed in. So I think for us, we were actually looking at the literature. We were actually looking at the research papers. We were looking at, like, the cost of compute and GPUs and, you know, just looking at overall trends and actually understanding where the market was going and how machine learning and deep learning is going to compound over time. And so when we really did take that bet, we were maybe 70% sure, but it was really like we're building the company based on that bet. And that's, you know, you don't build a startup unless you take this sort of bet. And you have to do something, like, if you want to build for a brand new market, you have to take those sort of bets. And that's what investors also want to look at. There's going to be some people that are more confident in being able to say, yeah, I believe in that bet. And if it's not a bet and if it's a known fact, then it really becomes a saturated market, right? And then everyone's doing it. And then, you know, how are you different?
I like that number. 70% sure, he said. They were 70% sure. They had done the research. They understood what they were getting into. And they said, this is a 70% bet. And 70% is a pretty good bet, I'd say, if you're going to put your money down on something that could pay off big at a time in which you're not just one of a bazillion people doing it. Because, you know, 100% bets don't pay off very well because everyone's taking them. Now, taking this bet meant that they had to be slow and strategic and not rush anything to market. They spent all of 2018 in beta working out the tech. When they released the product to market in 2019, they did so quietly. They wanted people to use it, and they wanted to engage with those people who were using it, and they wanted to make sure that those people thought it was so good that they were going to tell the next generation of users about it on their own.
We realized anything that was wishy-washy is not going to get adopted, or it's going to require a massive sales force to help people literally drink the Kool-Aid. And that was something that we as engineers and product people felt like if we were going to build Fireflies, we're going to build a bottoms-up product, meaning that it has to be adopted at the grassroots by people, and it has to be something that people adopt, learn, recognize, and utilize without a massively expensive sales force. So today at Fireflies, there are zero salespeople.
Don't you love how he just slips that in there, by the way? Zero salespeople at Fireflies. It is all word of mouth, which is what they want. Along the way, these past few years, Sam and Krish also raised about $5 million in funding and stopped paying for their co-working space because remote work worked better for them anyway. And then they also hired a totally distributed workforce. They rolled out their first major update this past February 2020, which of course was perfect timing given what was coming next. March arrived, COVID arrived, lockdowns began, and the popularity of platforms like Zoom and Skype and Microsoft Teams just shot up. And Fireflies is compatible with all those platforms. So as the world migrated to remote work, more and more people discovered and started using Fireflies. And this platform that was originally conceived of as an in-office tool that you could dial into with an in-office conference phone, well, now it had really found its place in the world. The 70% bet just went to 100%, which comes with its own challenges.
So we have to keep up with the incoming volume of users, the resources. And so every day has been like an operational, like it's all about execution. It's how well you execute at this point in time. And so like growth is great, but you have to be able to keep up with it. So that's one of the reasons Sam wasn't able to join us. It's just like, we have to keep this ship running all the time and then the lights on. And as a small startup with limited resources, yes, sometimes you're like, you know, even companies like Facebook have outages and stuff. So we have to really focus on keeping the platform up 24/7 because it is used in meetings globally. When we first started, it was like kind of this nice 9-to-5 window. And then in the evenings, we could ship like new updates and stuff like that. But now Fireflies is used in other countries, and there's meetings that are happening around the world 24/7. So this has forced us to, like, I think as a team, we're working really hard to kind of keep up with all that, which prevents us from having these even conversations or even thinking about fundraising and all that stuff. But what I kind of see from this sort of acceleration now that the opportunity has arisen is, like, I think the short term is just executing to keep up with the demand, which is I think a great, you know, you found something when, like, you know, they say, like, when your hair's on fire and then you're trying to figure out how do you put it out. So that's where we have, like, kind of a hair on fire situation, which is great.
Describe that. What does that mean? Are you up till 3 a.m. putting out fire?
Yeah, I was actually last night. So yeah, usually our working hours are like 18 to 20 hours a day right now, because we have to make sure when we're shipping new things to production and constantly updating features for users that the entire system is stable. And we have to also account for spikes throughout the day where there's just like a massive influx of meetings. And so, yeah, it is definitely like a really interesting transition period where we have to not only manage a team, but also operationally be good at what we do. As a startup, you know, you can't be a manager or like an exec and sit back and say, okay, we'll let our 18 other folks like handle this, but you have to really be there, roll up your sleeves and work in the weeds with them. Both Sam and I do that today. And hopefully over time, we'll be able to transition and rebuild out our team, add more layers of redundancy and just create that sort of thing. But it really is like we're moving at like 1,000,000 miles per hour, and we have to make sure things don't break while we're doing that.
So after hearing all that, let's return to this idea I floated at the beginning of the episode, which was, how do you build something that's perfectly suited for the future? And the answer is, well, first you take an educated bet. Now you do your research, you figure out where this thing is going, you figure out, are you in that sweet spot where it's developing, it's going to happen, but it's far enough away and speculative enough away that not everybody's running at the same time, where you can find the opportunity. So you take that educated bet and then you start building something to make it as good as it can be, not for some future idea of people, but for the people that you're building it for right now. And then if it clicks, well, then it takes off and you do your best to keep up, because the future is unpredictable, except for this one thing. Future just keeps arriving. We just keep moving forward. These changes will keep happening. And the best we can do is take our 70% bet. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.